Hey friends, I'm Jess Connolly. I'm an author, a coach, a Bible teacher, and a local church leader, and I love talking to real people who know what it means to have full lives, but also want to walk in abundance. This podcast is for you. It's not my podcast, it's ours. It's for people who crave lighthearted conversations and deeply spiritual truth. It's for people who are busy, tired, waiting, growing, dreaming, working, or praying about what's next. Wherever you're listening from, if it's quiet, mundane, or busy, I am praying for you and I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. All right, listen. We're distracted, overwhelmed, and honestly, we're all a little bit wired. We've got brain fog. We're experiencing anxiety, and the mental list of what we all need to do or get done just keeps rolling. If your brain feels fried, if you're lacking mental clarity and peace, you're not in the minority. Sadly, most of us feel this way. All of our brains are overstimulated. The default setting for women in our current culture is overwhelmed, but it really doesn't have to continue to be our reality. We don't have to keep consenting to live distracted, confused, and mentally exhausted. So let's talk about it. Today, I've got 5 tips for you if your brain is feeling fried. All right, here's the deal, friends. Mental fatigue is not the exception. It's honestly, for most of us, the culturally insistent rule. It is assumed that we will just be okay with being bombarded with information from the moment we open our eyes until we close them at night. And there is a worldwide assumption that you will adhere to a policy of being accessible at all times via your phone. Goodness gracious, I'm going to rant about this in just a second. There's an implied insistence that we as women will do the mental gymnastics needed to cope with and coordinate the complicated lives of every single person we lead and love. Of course, your brain feels fried. It is not your fault. You did not start this fight. You are not weak. There is not something wrong with you. That it's just overwhelming to be alive in the year of our Lord 2025. But we do want to fight it. We do want to say, like, okay, is this going to be the normal for the rest of our lives? Or are we going to partner with God and see how we can best take care of our brains? I want to tell you something really interesting. When I wrote Tired of Being Tired, I knew I wanted to talk about mental fatigue. I knew that it was impacting my life. And to be honest, I had this intense feeling that mental fatigue was actually maybe plaguing me more than physical fatigue. And so I just noticed that when I started researching the book. But here's what's crazy. As I wrote Tired of Being Tired, after I'd done all my research, after I had everything to go, some of you have heard me share this, that I had 70 women read the book live as I wrote it. And I had them give me live feedback on the book every month. So I would send them chapters and then they would immediately give me feedback. That helped me make sure that the book was relatable and accessible, that it wasn't just things that I was struggling with, but also that this was helpful to other people. And in chapter 4, there's a chapter called Find Your Fatigue. And there's literally a quiz that helps people find the fatigue that they're working with. And I had the 70 women go through that quiz and then share what was their biggest fatigue marker. What was the area where they were struggling with the biggest amount of fatigue? And so in case you haven't heard me say, the 4 areas are spiritual fatigue, physical fatigue, mental fatigue, and emotional fatigue. And to be honest, when most of us say we're tired, what we immediately think is we're physically tired. And while we're for sure physically tired, and while we're for sure probably all not getting enough sleep, it's these other kinds of fatigues that like seep into our life and into everything we do. And so figuring out what kind of tired you are can be really helpful so that you're resting in the right way. So these 70 women took this quiz, and I was so overwhelmed by the fact that they all came back to me and said, it's mental fatigue. Mental fatigue is at the top of my list. And I just thought that was so incredibly interesting. So you're not in the minority. You're probably in the majority if your brain feels fried. All right, let's get into our 5 tips. So number 1 is going to be less strategic and less logistical, but it is incredibly important. I think a lot of us in our hearts and minds, we need to work out the identity issue behind our brain feeling fried. So let me unpack that. I believe in the name of Jesus that peace is our birthright. In John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I also think he tells us that peace that passes understanding is ours for the taking. I do think it's an important caveat that it says peace that passes understanding, which means that we're really not going to be able to understand it. It's going to be supernatural. So it's not going to be necessarily all that easy to understand or accept, even from a worldly perspective. But that being said, I think that a lot of us who live in the now and not yet of on earth, but as it is in heaven, are wrestling with the identity issue of why our minds are struggling. Why do we have anxiety? Why do we feel discombobulated? Why do we not feel peaceful? Why do we struggle with people pleasing? Why are we so worried? What is our issue here? And this is where I land. I think that there are two different camps. I think that there's one camp that kind of lives in this idea of spiritual denial. And spiritual denial says there's no space for struggle where faith is found. Spiritual denial says we won't be scared or we won't be worried or we won't feel anxious if we trust God enough. But if we zoom out, a more adequate picture will show us that the faith and belief we hold fast to in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our confusion, that's honestly one of the ways that we can be the most steadfast. So just simply put, here's what I'd say. When I see women trust God in the midst of their mental fatigue and affliction, I am so inspired and so encouraged by the wild faith that it takes for them to trust in His ultimate healing while they still live under the effects of a fallen world. So spiritually denying the existence of mental fatigue or mental health issues, to me, really is an issue of spiritual maturity. It's denying one of the ways that we can see God move. I'm a gal who says, I believe God can heal anything, and I believe He will heal everything in eternity. I believe He could snap His fingers right now, and a lot of us could not struggle with some of the mental clarity that we're really fighting and that we're really struggling with. But I also believe that He allows different kinds of struggles in our lives for our good and His glory. And so that being said, I don't want to live into this idea of spiritual denial that says, if you're a believer, then you should not ever feel worried, you should not ever feel overwhelmed, and you should not ever feel anxious. Now, that being said, I think it can be really easy to kind of pendulum swing into a whole other side that I would call earthly agreement. I think a lot of us land in earthly agreement because we're motivated by a deep compassion for others or even for ourselves. And we see the experiences of earth, and unfortunately, we begin to accept them. We come into agreement with them as our identity. So instead of saying like, hey, I am a person who experiences anxiety or I am feeling anxious, we let that condition speak for the fullness of our identity, and we come into agreement with the label that we are anxious people. Instead of experiencing the effects of worry or sickness or brokenness, we accept the labels of our illnesses and personalities, kind of like finding more identity in these temporal diagnoses than we do in our spiritual inheritance. This might sound like semantics, but it's a big deal. And it's why I'm just cautious in my own life not to say things like, I am so anxious, or I am an anxious person. Instead, say, I'm experiencing anxiety. Or instead of saying like, oh, I'm a nervous wreck, or I'm such a mess, I'll try to use language that says, this week has been really hectic, and I'm trying to take it day by day. So that being said, one of the biggest ways, again, that I think we can help our brain feeling fried is to work out the identity stuff, to be women who say, peace is my birthright. I was given a sound mind, and yet I still live under the effects of a fallen world. And environmentally, there is a lot going on right now that is really fighting for my attention, my distraction, and my peace. So, number one tip for fighting this feeling of your brain being fried is work out the identity stuff. Know what you believe to be true about you and about your mind and about how God made it. The second thing, I'm so sorry. I'm apologizing right here, guys. I wish there was another way. But the second tip for when your brain feels fried is you've got to consume less. We have got to consume less. We've got to block websites on our phone that our fingers are just going to out of habit. We've got to set boundaries around sacred moments. We've got to ask why we feel like we constantly need to be connected. The thing is this, I love the internet. I love technology. I love Instagram. I like to watch a funny reel more than anybody I know. I like to watch West Wing in the shower. But at the end of the day, I have to ask myself, do I want a life where I have consumed content? And do I believe it's helping me come into agreement with who God made me to be? Or do I believe it might be distracting me from the clarity I need, distracting me from the wholeness that is mine for the taking, distracting me from the peace that was purchased for me on the cross of Christ? I think we have to ask those questions. And ultimately, where I land personally is I'm going to have to consume less. I'm going to have to not go to people.com 17 times a day. There are large portions of my life, guys, where I've had to block people.com from my phone. It's not funny, but it does make me laugh. I should probably block it again right now. Let's keep going. Number three, this is where I think a lot of us are going to pay attention to the content we consume. But the biggest thing I want to encourage you about paying attention to if your brain feels fried is watch for moments of margin. Watch for moments of margin. I would even take it so far as to say, watch for like really tender or sensitive or thin moments in your life. If there are parts of your day or parts of your week or parts of your month or parts of your year that feel specifically sensitive or tender, I want you to watch for what content you're consuming. I want you to watch for how much noise you're bringing in. This can be as simple as saying like, hey, in a moment of transition, when I'm walking from my car to the house, I'm not going to be looking at my phone. I'm going to be taking a deep breath and saying a breath prayer like, God, help me to shake off this day. Watch for moments of margin, specifically like your mornings and your evenings. What are you taking in to your brain at that moment? What are you exposing yourself to? And I wish that there was another way. I wish that there were five tips that I could give you guys that didn't necessarily have to do with protecting these moments, because it's kind of fun for our flesh to like immediately sign up to be distracted or to think about something else or to watch something else or to listen to something else or to call our sister or to do anything other than just sit in stillness and silence. But ultimately, I do believe that if our brains feel fried, watching for moments of margin is one of the quickest ways we can get some peace back. Let's take a quick break. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, I'm assuming you like to listen to things. So I have three things for you to listen to. Number one, did you know that you can get the audio version of Tired of Being Tired that I read in my own voice? You can get it for free when you pre-order a printed copy of Tired of Being Tired. If you go to jessconnolly.com/tired of being tired, you can see where you pre-order a copy of the book and then enter your information, and I will send you the audiobook for free that you can start listening to. Now, on top of that, another free thing that you get when you pre-order one copy of Tired of Being Tired is an exclusive podcast series I created called Real Rest Now. So Real Rest Now is a 5-episode podcast series that I recorded with some incredible women who are just amazing leaders. And honestly, they kind of span through all walks of life. And I really just asked them, what does real rest look like for you? Where are you the most fatigued? What's working for you? And I think you're going to love hearing from some other women about what rest actually looks like for them. So again, if you pre-order one copy of Tired of Being Tired, you can get the audiobook for free. I read it for you. And you can get Real Rest Now, the exclusive podcast series. Head to jessconnolly.com/tired of being tired or see the link in the show notes and you can get both of those for free. Let's go. All right. Your fourth tip for when your brain feels fried is this: catch and release. I don't know anything about fishing, to be totally honest with you. I did go trout fishing one time and I did catch some trout, but I do think catch and release is a fishing phrase. And I have always really wondered, like, why would you go to the trouble of catching it to release it? But I know that this is a helpful practice in my life. So I've got two different ways for you to catch and release the ideas, the stress, the worries, the thoughts that are keeping your brain kind of pushed to the outer edge of its limits. So the first is this. I want to massively encourage you to utilize the idea or the concept of brain dumps. So brain dump, this is what I mean. I'll take a sheet of paper or a whiteboard or just the notes app on my phone, and I will list everything that is overwhelming me, from small tasks to big unsolvable questions. I'll do it with community. I'll do it with my team. If we're all feeling overwhelmed, I'll do it with Nick. If we're feeling overwhelmed as a couple, I'll help my kids do it. If they're just feeling like, oh my gosh, I have so much going on, I don't know what's wrong with me. Using a brain dump, even like during your prayer time. A lot of times I'll pray like this, like in the morning, if I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, my people are just struggling or there's so much going on, I'll take out a sheet of paper. And instead of trying to write a long form prayer, I'll just make a list. What are all these things that are worrying me and that are taking up space in my brain? So that's the catch of the catch and release. Notice it all. Pay attention to it all. To be honest, to some of you, this might sound really overwhelming. I want to encourage you that it is actually helpful. It's not going to be harder on you. It is actually going to be a blessing for you to write it all down. Here's the release piece. I want to encourage you to write a prayer of release. For me, here's what that means. A prayer of release might be just a long written prayer, like a long form prayer, or even a short form prayer. It could be as simple as, Father, I release everyone and everything to you. Or it could be a long form written prayer where I say, like, God, I believe you're in control of this. I trust that you will take care of this person. I give this to you. I claim this promise over this area of my life. So you can develop a short prayer of release, or if you find yourself stuck in a cycle of thinking, worrying, or obsessing, you can write out a long form prayer and recite it every single day. All right, here is your fifth tip for if your brain is feeling fried. I think a lot of times our brains feel fried because we're overwhelmed, or we're distracted, or we're consuming too much content, or we have things that we're holding on to that we need to catch and release. But oftentimes, one of the best ways to fight mental fatigue is to actually increase or turn up our purpose and passion. So I think one thing that keeps women from going all in on passion and purpose is really this cultural expectation that we should not be too much. We should be chill. We should be easygoing. We should temper our excitement and our enthusiasm. But here's my question. What if that zeal and devotion are actually a gift from God to help us be fully present and awake to the mental task in front of us? What if you're feeling distracted, or you're feeling like your brain is fried, or you're feeling like you've got 17 things going on because you're not allowing yourself the passion and the purpose to get super jazzed about the one thing in front of you? What if you made space for wild passion to produce focus and clarity in your life, whether it was your work or your family or your community or your home, or some project you're working on, or your exercise, or even your rest in the name of Jesus? What would happen if you fought the fear that keeps you from going all in on what matters to you and instead just risked it all by zeroing in on wherever you find yourself at the moment? Is it possible that maybe stripping away all the secondary things might make even more capacity and passion for what you're in, for what really matters in the moment? So again, I think instead of just like taking everything out and taking content out and taking distraction out and removing, I want to really just advocate for putting in purpose and passion, for making space for it in the name of Jesus in your life. Here's what I know about mental fatigue. Unfortunately, it seeps into every part of our lives. It can make us feel physically fatigued. It can keep us from having the energy we need to process our emotions. It can absolutely lead to physical and spiritual fatigue because we're disconnected from God. But the great news about fighting mental fatigue and fighting this feeling of your brain being fried is that there are so many areas of victory when we start to address it. So if you haven't heard, Tired of Being Tired has multiple chapters on mental fatigue, multiple logistical steps, and even more Bible teaching to hopefully meet you where you're at and encourage you if your brain is feeling fried. Let me pray for us and then we'll head out. Father, I thank you for our brains. I thank you that you gave us sound minds. I thank you that you said you wanted to leave us with peace that passes understanding. So we ask that you would help us to come into alignment with that, to make it our whole identity, to agree with that even while we experience the effects of living on a fallen earth and experience anxiety and worry and distraction and fatigue. So God, would you give us insight individually about what it would look like for us to come into agreement with our sound mind, to love our brains well, to love our minds well, to feel compassion about how overwhelming it is, but also to make wise moves in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, I'm so grateful you listened to today's episode. Thanks for spending time with me. It would mean the world to me to connect with you. So you can send me a DM on Instagram at Jess A. Connolly or head to my website, jessconnolly.com, for more ways to connect. If you have a minute to subscribe and leave a review of the podcast wherever you listen, it would massively help us reach more people with the good news that they can live fully awake. Let's go.